Entomophagy, the human conception of insects, is nothing new, as the culinary art has been around for decades. Now, globally, more than 2 billion people already eat insects, primarily in Asia, Latin America, and Africa. However, recently, the cuisine has found new popularity, as environmentalists are encouraging the eating of insects, all to lighten the environmental footprint. Now, those environmentally conscious diners say it is more about the science, as insects generate more biomass with less input. Now, for example, crickets are actually 12 times more efficient at converting feed into edible weight than cows. Now, the hope would be, with millions more people choosing to eat protein and nutrient-rich insects, CO2 emissions would be greatly impacted. But not only are bugs serving as a great source of protein, but also revenue, as market predictors are predicting the value of the edible insect industry to be almost $9.6 billion by 2030. So to see what all the buzz is about, we go to our international correspondent, Roxana Solano.
In many cultures, eating a variety of insects is part of their diet. In Asia, bugs are invading streets, food markets in Thailand and Vietnam. From cricket soup to worms, you can get fried, batter, or saute with peppers. Edible bugs are crawling into popular nightcap snack. During the last big arrival of cicadas in America, the FDA had put out a warning to tell people to stop eating cicadas if they have a shellfish allergy. High-end restaurants were getting creative to figure out a way how to turn these rare sightings into creepy, crawly culinary delights. Now Bill Gates and big names in Hollywood are pushing to eat bugs as a way to prevent climate change. But is this political motivation enough to make this trend mainstream in countries who don't normally have such a high appetite for arachnids? Of course, if you could convince an entirely new part of the population to ingest insects, there would be a market to make money. So is the next place Bill Gates is looking to score big bucks with bugs? Amazon now sells bag bugs from zebra tarantulas to dark chocolate crickets. And don't forget the jungle trail mix, with a delicate mix of scorpions, and beetles to tickle your fancy. The argument is bugs are high in protein and could replace the high intake of beef, chicken, and pork, which critics against eating these meats say raising these animals is adding to pollution. Time magazine even came out with an article pushing bugs as a sustainable, healthy alternative to meat. While many countries do have bugs as part of their diet, it is usually a seasonal snack. Harvesting them or farming them could, of course, lead down the same slippery slope as with fish or chickens. And of course, you will have people begin to say even eating bugs is inhumane. So, Scotty, would you try eating delicious, nutritious bugs?
On purpose, Roxana? I mean, I have to say, you know, you travel to other countries, you do get to explore different foods. France, escargot, we've had the debate here within the studio. Does escargot count as bugs? Kind of, but when it's dipped in butter and garlic, anything can taste good. I don't know, but on purpose, seeking it out, I think it's different if you're going to taste it as a delicatessen versus if it's something being pushed on you because there's no other options.
So, actually, when I was writing this package for you, I remember I have a little zip bag in my closet full of, not full, but let's say like 10 ants as a snack. And I remember my sister in Colombia, she went to a region called Santander. It's a state. And there, they, you know, you can buy as a snack ants. But these are special ants. I never had the heart to try them, and they were in my closet for, I don't know, 10 years. And I actually called my sister yesterday and said, do you remember when you gave me those ants? And she's like, yeah, I was there the other day, and they still sell them. So this is something that is embedded in their culture. And like I said, it's special ants. They're called hormigas culonas, which is big butt ants. So their butts are very big, and that's like the juicy part of the ants.
It sounds like a song I once heard, and we won't go into lyrics on that. You know, once again, it's all about the culture on that side of it. And I think that's what's interesting about this. Yes, various cultures have. But I would just like to remark, I'm going to be very careful of whatever dish you bring to the company Christmas potluck.
They are salted, though. Salted and fried. So they do taste like...
So they're
like...
salted, fried, big butt ants.
Correct.
You heard it here first. Fact check it is true.
Yes.
Roxanna, that explains so much about the personality that sometimes that you bring to this newsroom.
Try them. I guarantee they're delicious.
Thank you for that enlightening story. So is this something you can and should take a bite of? Well, let's ask our first guest, Josephine Akrani, a broadcast journalist and media trainer out of Kenya. Thank you so much for joining us, Josephine.
Hi, how are you?
So
nice to be here.
Oh, it's so great to have you on. You know, this is an interesting subject, one that, you know, you have to have a good stomach for, because in the West, entomophagy is the ability to eat insects. It's actually becoming very trendy as a way to help and sustain the planet. Do you actually think this is a reasonable way to help the fight against so-called climate change?
Wow, interesting. In Africa, bugs or insects eating is something from the very old days and in different communities. Talking about my country, where I come from, there are two common insects or bugs that have been eaten for years by most communities in Kenya and in the neighboring countries, and those are termites. Termites just sprout out of the ground at a certain period, most times in the months of August and September of every year. They come out of the anthills. Just like that. Nobody knows when they'll come out, but when they do during the season. And they are a delicacy for most homes that people will eat them with some other food. And they are very delicious. I'm told they have very good protein. They are quite a good and very nice food that people really enjoy for the short period that they spring out of the grounds. Another insect that people have been eating for years in the past are locusts. But locusts, when they show up, they are very destructive, unlike termites. Termites have no destruction, but locusts are destructive. And in the past years, in the early 30s, 1930s, and this is very significant for me, my mother was born in 1932, and her name is from when the locusts came and ravaged the whole country. That is like 90 years ago. She's 90 this year. Her name, her second name, comes from the year when the locusts came. When she tells you her second name, anybody who knows will say, oh, that is the year when the locusts invaded in a big way. So locusts are also eaten. They are a delicacy. They are dried up and really roasted and eaten with the other food. But locusts are not very common. Actually, it's until recently, during the year of COVID, that locusts again showed up in East Africa. They're very destructive, and they really cut down plants like scissors, you know, all leaves. They can't see any leaf standing. So those are also a delicacy. They are eaten. But the common ones are the termites, which normally come out when it's raining, and sometimes even during the dry season. And these ones are a big delicacy for most people who live in the western part of Kenya. Not every place are they eaten. They are not eaten in the whole of the country, but in communities that come from the western part of Kenya.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned this has happened, come in and out throughout time, COVID, when the locusts came back. Do you think that climate change is actually having an effect on the insect community and when they're coming? Are they seeming less frequently from when even you were younger?
What has happened over the years, and again, this I will relate it even to wild mushrooms. Growing up, when the land was not tilled up, you know, when the land was more not so much deforested and everything, there were so many food products that came out naturally out of the ground, even mushrooms. We had traditional mushrooms, which have kind of disappeared these days. And even these termites, I'm told, in the past, they were a common phenomena. But with time, as people have continued tilling the land and destroying their ecosystem, the anthills, they have kept reducing over a period of time. So they are diminishing day by day, probably by the destruction of the environment. But this is a delicacy. If it shows up at the time it does, people really enjoy it for the short period. They are wild, let me use that word. They are not farmed. We don't farm insects. They just come out when they do. So it's just nature. You just wait for them. They come when they come. You roast them and eat them and wait for it another time.
Well, and that's the thing is, you know, how mainstream is it? And it sounds like it's obviously been a part of the culture for generations. But is it one of those things that you can go to, that you go to a restaurant and get? Is this something in the house? Is this something in vending machines? Are these easily available to all different groups of Kenyans, all the different that have availability to it? Or is it just for those, maybe that it's a delicatessen if you go to a restaurant?
Well, you cannot determine where they will come out from. I mean, in the countryside especially, when the season for the termites happens, it's known that this is the season when there are more termites coming out of the ground. I wouldn't know what pushes them to come out during that period, but probably it's because it's during the plowing season that they are disturbed from their environment. They also show up during rainy seasons in some instances. But again, like I said, the culture of eating termites is not everywhere. It's in certain communities who appreciate them over the years. Some people cannot stand flying insects, can't stand eating insects. So it has to be something that you've grown up with, your community has appreciated over the years, and you appreciate them. I come from the western part of Kenya, and I do eat termites, but I have friends and colleagues who come from central Kenya or from eastern Kenya, they cannot imagine that you can eat insects. So this is all about how you have grown up, how you have seen these insects and appreciated them and known that, yes, they can be a good delicacy. So it's not everywhere. It's just in some parts of the country.
Well, it seems like this trend is actually being pushed, especially over in the West and Western countries. And do you think there is almost too much of a cultural revulsion to overcome, even if certain celebrities start getting involved in pushing these bugs? Do you think that will have an influence to expand people who would consider bugs as a part of their diet?
Maybe. maybe too. I wouldn't know. But probably... Yeah.
and that's the question. Is there anything when you look at foods of the West? I think so many times people exist within their own little sphere. They think that, you know, that might not seem appealing to them. But is there foods when you look out at the rest of the world that they eat that you're going, that's a little crazy for you to taste? It's kind of weird that you would actually eat that. Is there anything from other Western foods that Kenyans look at and go, why in the world would you eat that?
It depends. It depends on different people and how they look at that. Because, again, this is at an individual level and how you think and feel about things. Well, it's not really specific to anybody. It's just about choices and how people want to look at this and how they want to handle it.
Well, and we all know that regardless, if you're hungry, you'll take whatever option is, regardless if it wasn't available to you readily before. Thank you so much, Josephine Karani, for joining us from Kenya. I want you to please stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with our guest on the phenomenon of eating bugs. See you shortly.
Forward to talking to you all.
That technology should work for people.
A robot must obey the orders given it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law.
Show your identification.
We should be very careful about artificial intelligence.
The point, obviously, is to create trust rather than fear.
I would like to take on various jobs.
I mean, with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon.
A robot must protect its own existence as own existence.
We need to counter the Russian state-controlled narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez, monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays. On est en France, quoi. C'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly, all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
I think Russia in the 21st century has taken several opportunities to try to see if there would be interest in the West to create new boundaries, to create a new relationship. And as you mentioned, time and time and time again, it would get flatly rejected because we have sort of pushed Russia into this corner, ideologically, attitudinally, to say, you're the adversary, we may not be in a formal bipolar ideological Cold War anymore, but we're not going to allow a new relationship to develop with you.
Welcome back. We are talking today about this push to eat bugs. So joining us again is Josephine Karani, a broadcast journalist and media trainer, joining us from Kenya. And it's been interesting to talk about, obviously, the different cultures and how this has been a part of their society and their delicatessen for a long time. So you mentioned that it was possibly a regional choice, that certain parts of Kenya eat it, certain parts don't. I understand that insects are used to control pests instead of insecticides in certain regions. Is that true?
I wouldn't know, but what I know is that the insects I've talked about, they are food, really. And I believe they have some value, probably protein value or some medicinal value, because they have been appreciated over the years and they have been handed down to generations and they've been really enjoyed over a period of time.
You know, it's interesting, Josephine, the reason why we're having this conversation right now is because it seems like, especially in the West and around the world, that people are pushing insects to be a part of a menu that hasn't traditionally been, mainly because of this idea of food shortages that we're finding in countries around the world. What are you seeing in the grocery stores in Kenya? As all of your traditional foods that have always been there, are they still able to have access to? Or are you seeing a shortage like many parts of the world are seeing right now?
The thing is that every community or every place, people have their own kind of food. Even as a country, we have variety of foods. The people in Western Kenya or in Central Kenya or in Eastern Kenya or even at the coast, their food types are different. They appreciate different types of food depending on how they've grown over the years, what was available for them. For example, if you live in the coast of Kenya, you are more likely to eat more rice and coconut, you know? And if you come maybe from the western part of Kenya, you are more likely to have maize meal. And if you come from central part of Kenya, you are more likely to have potatoes, Irish potatoes, and that kind of food, because that is the kind of food that works in your region, that grows in that region. And for people who come from the dry lands, they do more meat, the pastoralists. That's the only food that they know and the food that works in their area. So it's all diverse. No really fixed food for certain places, but depends on your background, on your area, what works, what grows, what is your staple food, if it's bananas, if it's potatoes. So it totally differs from one community to another, depending on what is available in your place.
You know, it's interesting. This is also coming about, unfortunately, because of the climate. And we talked about a little bit about man-made climate change that's happening in your region based on tilling of the farmlands. But is climate change really a topic that is being discussed in Kenya? And is this idea of eating different foods like insects, different insects, part of a solution that you think is viable?
I think for me, every place, every community, they adopt what works for them. I happen to come from a region where we appreciate the termites. I can eat termites, but other people from other areas may not appreciate them. It's just like the community from the lake region in Kenya. They eat fish because they are next to the Lake Victoria, for example. There are communities in central Kenya who cannot eat fish. They don't even know how to pick fish bones. So this is really varied from one community to another, depending on your area, what works for you, what have you grown up with, what do you appreciate? So there's a whole lot of variety, but there's openness to know what other people use as food and taking it up. So it's a big variety and it's open for you to choose.
Choosing, that's an amazing thing, because here in America, they're really trying to push, and across the countries, other countries in the West, they're trying to push this idea of replacing beef and chicken with insects in your own home, since it's already within your dietary, within your menu. Do you see this to being a proper replacement for protein in your family? Is the equivalent to a beef or a chicken, is the insect substitution?
What maybe would be the difference here is because these insects are not farmed. Like I said, they are wild. They just pop up and disappear. Really, you have no hold over them. So you can't be sure that you can substitute them with chicken or meat. They are seasonal. They are just a delicacy that pops up and leaves at will. So if there's a way that these insects, or there are certain insects that can be farmed, then of course they can be substitutes of beef and chicken in our setups. But as it were now, these termites and locusts are impromptu. Nobody knows when they will show up and nobody knows when they will be off again. You are not in control of them because you are not farming them. That is the difference.
Well, that's interesting that you mentioned that you're not farming them. Do you think, as this continued push is to get away from meat and chicken, do you think, is there a strong agriculture community that potentially could expand to include farming? And how much is farmed food or even laboratory food that's created in the labs, how much do Kenyans accept that food into their dinner plate as something that might be natural?
Not much.
Well, I think that's a part of the question is it going to be just as acceptable, something that's farmed, if they do have to eventually start farming these insects, will they be as accepted as something that came from nature? And is that something that are Kenyans open to having processed food on their dinner table as much as they have over something that might have been naturally stated?
Well, now Kenyans prefer indigenous foods. Actually, even for vegetables, apart from collard greens and kales, which are normally farmed by and cabbage probably, there are other indigenous vegetables that communities believing that are local, which are nutritious and which are not GMOs. Let me use that word. They are organic. So I think for now there's a lot of belief in original foods, in organic foods, in nurturing foods that don't have a lot of chemicals, and that is how we believe that even the old population are able to live for very long because they eat indigenous foods, indigenous vegetables, not so much vegetables that have been planted in farms and have been sprayed with the pesticides and all that.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for joining us, giving us our insight into how Kenya's already had insects within their diet. And it'll be interesting to see if this continues to be a push from the West that expands. Thank you so much, Josephine Karani.
Thank you so much.
So are you ready to add crickets to your casserole? Now listen, I am all for trying new taste, and I appreciate cultural culinary experiences. However, an edible with an agenda kind of turns my stomach. And while some say this is just the latest from conspiracy theorists who believe there is a secret cabal pushing insects onto the common man's plate while elitists like Bill Gates and George Soros stockpile more traditional foods for themselves, the fact that the UN published a study called Edible Insects, Future Prospects for Food and Feed Security, only adds to the speculation there is more to this recipe. Plus, mainstream stores like Aldi actually considering the sale of edible insects to help with the cost of living crisis, and Green Corps members are hoping to use insect options to help cut food waste, all raise the question, why the sudden push? Now, the fact we have our doubts just shows the lack of trust today's society has in trends being exactly as they seem. Maybe this is because it seems almost everything today has more than what is being made public and almost always has a hidden political agenda. However, with more than 2,000 insect species worldwide deemed safe for consumption, and environmentalists, Hollywood, and chefs could be working together to make sure in the near future you can have your cockroach and eat it too. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been your 360 View. Thanks for watching.